The book of Jude is a short book of only 25 verses, but it is an epistle that is very interesting and very needed for our time. We're looking at Jude, beginning in verse 4 today. The book of Jude, verse 4. In verse 3, he tells us what the purpose of this book is. The aim of this book is to exhort Christians to earnestly contend for the faith. The reason why Jude wrote this is given to us in verse 4. The reason why we should earnestly contend for the faith is that, according to verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The reason why Jude wrote these words, telling us, and especially telling these original readers, to earnestly contend for the faith, is because there were false teachers who were threatening the church. They were endangering Christian souls. And so he tells them to defend the gospel and to contend against these false teachers. Notice how he describes these men in verse 4. He said, "There are certain men crept in unawares." They crept into the church. That means they slipped into the church. Some people would say that they came in the back door or they came in through the basement. But however you say it, these men pretended to be and to believe what everybody else was and believed. They acted like they were part of the group, and they hid who they really were, and they kept hidden what they actually believed. You see, their plan all along was to change churches into something different. And so they had to infiltrate these churches, and they did that by going in as wolves in sheep's clothing, just like Jesus warned in Matthew 7, verse 15. So they didn't announce to people up front what they believed. They didn't tell people what their true intentions were. They acted by deception. They crept into the church. He also says that they were ungodly men. These were not good men who just happened to be wrong in how they interpreted the Bible. There are good men who misinterpret the Bible at times. All people at times misinterpret the Bible. But these are not good, sincere men who just happen to have misinterpreted a verse here or a verse there. These are sinful, wicked men. And he'll explain more about that later. He will elaborate on just how wicked these men were. He says here that they were ungodly men. He also says that they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. The word condemnation means judgment. And he's talking, of course, about God's judgment. The word ordain means to be appointed. So God had appointed them before. Because of the things that God knew all along that they would do of their own free will. Now, they had a choice. God didn't make them do anything. They made their choice, and God had long before appointed them to His judgment because of the actions that they chose. So they were appointed to this condemnation because of their deeds. The Bible shows us what they taught. And the Bible shows us why it was such a wicked doctrine. The Bible says that they turned the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. Now, the grace of God is the mercy of God. The grace of God is what gives us the forgiveness of sins. These people took the grace of God and they turned it into lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness comes from a word which means unbridled lust. It means shamelessness. It is defined as wanton acts or manners, as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, and unchaste handling of males and females. That is what lasciviousness is. Now, their doctrine was this. They said that grace is God's mercy. They said that grace covers sin, which it does. But they went on to say, and this is what they taught Christian people, they said, you can sin all you want because God's grace will cover it. So they perverted the grace of God. The grace of God gives us salvation. But they said that there were no conditions on our part as Christian people. They said you can live any way that you want to, and the grace of God will cover your sins. And you see traces of that same doctrine in other books of the Bible. For instance, there were some people that were accusing the Apostle Paul of teaching a doctrine like that. In Romans 3, verse 8, Paul said that some claim that he taught, let us do evil that good may come. And Paul never taught anything like that. But the Bible tells us that there were some that made up that doctrine about him. In Romans 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So Paul said, should we say that we should sin even more? Because if the grace of God appeared because of man's sin, then wouldn't it follow that if we sin even more, that we will receive even more grace? Paul said, God forbid. But evidently, there were some that were either suggesting that or entertaining that idea, if not outrightly teaching that doctrine, like we find here in Jude 4. In Revelation 2, verse 14, we also find that some taught the doctrine of Balaam to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. Now, that was a doctrine which said that it was all right to commit fornication. What an ungodly doctrine. But what we find in Jude 4 is that there were men coming into the church and not telling people up front that that was their teaching. They claimed to believe and teach what everybody else taught in the church. But after a while, they started coming out with these ideas. And any doctrine today that tells people that it's all right for them to sin is just as wrong as this doctrine we're reading about here. And what the Bible tells us then in verses 5 through 7 is that Jude uses three examples which show that God will judge these false teachers. Now, this is very similar to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, where Peter talked about these false teachers and the judgment that was lying ahead for them. And he said that God didn't spare the angels that sinned, God didn't spare the old world before the flood, and God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah. So if he didn't spare those angels and the old world and Sodom and Gomorrah, he's certainly not going to spare these false teachers. Now that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. In the book of Jude, we find something very similar. We find that Jude talks about this ungodly doctrine in verse 4, and then in verses 5 through 7, he also uses three examples to show the justice of God. The first example is the Israelite people who fell in the wilderness. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. This is verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He said, I'm going to remind you of this, though you once knew this. So this means that these Christians that he's writing to had learned this before, but they needed reminding about this. And this is done several times in the New Testament. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, that whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 12, Paul talks about the Israelites who fell in the wilderness. And then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that all these things happened to them for examples. And then in verse 12, he said, let him therefore that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7, all the way through chapter 4, verse 11, the writer of the book of Hebrews warns Christians then and Christians now not to fall after the same example of unbelief in those Israelite people. what happened to the Hebrew people that he's talking about here in Jude verse 5? He said that the Lord saved the people, that is the Israelite people, out of the land of Egypt. But afterward, he destroyed them that believed not. What happened? Well, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves, and they were in sorrow and pain in that slavery. The Bible says the Egyptians made their lives bitter with hard bondage. So they cried to God for God to deliver them. And God eventually did. He freed them through the hand of Moses. And for 40 years after that Exodus, they rebelled against God. They forgot what God had done for them. And as a result, God destroyed the people who believed not. So in the end, what happened was this. When they believed God at the beginning, they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And the Bible does say that they believed, Psalm 106, verse 12. But later, they believed not, and God destroyed them. And Jude's point is this. If God punished his own people, he will not spare these false teachers. Example number 2 is in verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The Bible tells us that some angels sinned. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible talks about the angels that sinned. In Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus talks about the devil and his angels. Here in Jude, verse 6, we have more information. We have more detail about what those angels did than anywhere else in the Bible. The Bible says that they kept not their first estate. The New King James says they did not keep their proper domain, and they left their own habitation. The New King James says they left their own abode. And this means they were not satisfied with the role that God gave them. Jude is not talking about a physical location here. When he says that they kept not their first estate, but they left their own habitation or they left their abode, he's not talking about a physical place like you and I occupy on earth. He's talking about their realm. He's talking about a sphere of responsibility. He's talking about the role that God gave them. They wanted something else. They wanted something different. And that is the very sin that mankind is guilty of today. The angels were not satisfied with what God told them to do, and so they did something different. Man today is not satisfied with what God tells him to do, and he does something different, and he follows in the footsteps of these sinful angels. The third example is Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The Bible says that God not only destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he also destroyed the cities about them, that is, these neighboring cities. And what was their sin? The Bible says it was the sin of fornication, the sin of homosexuality, which to this day is known by the name of that infamous city. It is known as sodomy. The Bible says this is a kind of fornication. The word fornication in the Bible is a broad and general word that can include adultery. It can include and mean premarital sex, or it can mean, as in this passage, homosexuality. The Bible says that their judgment was not just physical death when God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven, but he said they are set forth for an example for all times, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.